Hey, it's Amber, and I just wanted to let you know that right now is the lowest price you're going to see on the 3-inch mattress toppers from MyPillow.com. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Amber, and save up to 50% off on the 3-inch pillow toppers. So get some extra comfort while you sleep. It's super important that you and I and the rest of us sleep well because we have the whole day to tackle. We have all the things to do and we can't be tired doing it. The thing I love about my mattress topper is it keeps me nice and cool. So if you're one of those people like me that sleep warm, and I sleep warm because my beds tend to be is a Tempur-Pedic type bed, and so it's naturally warm. When I put that MyPillow mattress topper, it really did cool down the bed. It has technology in it to keep your body regulated and nice and cool. So it made a big difference. So if you want some extra comfort on your mattress, you want to sleep better, sleep cooler, then get the 3-inch mattress topper from MyPillow.com/Amber right now. And when you do that, use promo code Amber and save up to 66% off on everything on the website. Take care. Hey guys, welcome to the Amber May Show, my fellow deplorables. I am so glad that I have you guys joining me today because I have a great show for you. There's so many ways to get involved in the fight to save America. And joining me today is John Guidolo, and he is the president and founder of Understanding the Threat. It's an organization in America providing tools to leaders, police, and citizens to identify and dismantle jihadist terrorist networks in our local community. So you have to listen to this program today because we're going to find out how we can be fighting back because local action creates national impact. And John, in 89, graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. And he took a commission as an officer in the Marine Corps, and he served in 2nd Battalion and 2nd Marines as an infantry platoon commander in combat Operation Desert Storm. And from 91 to 96, he served in 2D Force Reconnaissance Company as a platoon commander. And so he is a veteran. And in 96, he was reassigned his commission in the Marine Corps and joined the FBI. And we're to talk about that in the organization of the FBI. And he was in the field from 96 to 2000. And he primarily conducted narcotic investigations domestically and overseas. In 2001, he served for a year as the FBI liaison to the US Capitol Police investigating threats on high-level government officials. Shortly after 9/11, John began an assignment to the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI's Washington Field Office, developing an expertise in the Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic doctrine, and the global Islamic movement and terrorist organizations, including Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and others. So he is a subject matter expert, and he is on the show today, and we're going to be talking about the threats to America, but how, most importantly, the takeaways of what you can do to help preserve the Constitutional Republic and save our country, because it's so important that with every episode you feel empowered that you can do something about it. We're not in a position where we can sit back and just think someone else is going to do the job. We've done that, and look where we're at today in our country. We're on the brink of losing our nation. So follow me on Telegram at the Amber May Show. I have more to discuss there. I'd love to carry on the conversation. I post a lot there that I won't post on my platform. So please follow me there. I would really appreciate a $5 monthly contribution to the show. And the easiest way to do that is going to the AmberMayShow.locals.com, and there you can be a $5 monthly contributor to the program. I don't want to take content and only have this group get it and the other group doesn't. I really want to have my content out because that's how it makes a difference in the world. But it takes time and money, and I could use your support. I also partner with Patriots, own companies who give you a discount that support the Amber May Show. And so in the links below, please check out my advertisers or go to the AmberMayShow.com and check out the promo section there. I'd appreciate that. And while you're there, check out the merchandise store that I have at the AmberMayShow.com. So please follow me on Telegram, the Amber May Show. Visit me on the website, TheAmberMayShow.com, Frank Social, Amber May, or True Social, Amber May. So coming up next is John Guidolo, and he is going to tell us about understanding the threat to the United States. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. And then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AMBERMAY, and save some money. You, I have John with us. I'm excited to have him as a guest. I have met him a few times. We have mutual friends, and he has been able to speak at some of the events I've attended. And so I wanted to have him on my show because I think what he has to offer is super important. But I want to get the elephant out of the room when we begin, because I told my audience your background. You know, you're a veteran. Thank you for your service, sir. I appreciate you very much. And some of the things you've done in your line of duty, I mean, it's incredible work that you did. You really risked your life. But you were also an FBI agent. I think you're retired now, correct? You're a retired FBI agent?
Right. I actually got recruited out of the FBI in 2008 to work with the Department of Defense for several years.
But you still, and correct me if I'm wrong, you still advise, give the government advisement as threats to the United States. Is that correct?
I still speak with members of Congress and others that are engaged both in the civilian side and others, but it's a lot more limited today than it used to be.
Yeah,
I mean, I still have members. There are members of Congress that I consider friends of mine that I still speak with. But for the most part, the official advising role right now under this regime has been pretty minimized.
So you've been focusing on us on getting the civilians familiar with what's going on. And I agree. But let me get the elephant out of the room, okay? Because when we hear FBI, it has poor connotations because of the things that have gone on in our world today. And a lot, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think a majority of the field level FBI agents are good people, but correct me if I'm wrong, who care about enforcing law and want to do good in the world. But I think it's captured at the top. I think they're part of the establishment, the cabal, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, because they put their people strategically in every level of government, every agency. And so when we're hearing about all these FBI things going on, those are who I am associating the negative connotations to, not your regular everyday FBI. Would you share your experience or give us some insight since you used to be an FBI agent on that?
Yeah. So thanks for the question, first of all, and I'm grateful to be on with you. Maybe it's good to just step back a little bit. If we look at it, there are two things I'll lay on the table. First of all, when Mr. Trump was transitioning in 2016, I got a call from several colleagues who were part of the transition team and were heavily involved in setting up the administration. And they asked for some recommendations. And one of them specifically asked, can you give me a two pager on the two or three biggest problems in the FBI? And I addressed the way they hire agents, the way they train people and the way they promote them. And I wrote and explained how it's devastatingly, it's just a failure. And I'll give a couple of quick examples. You know, professional organizations, even though they're hostile, but like British intelligence, Saudi intelligence, Russian intelligence, Chinese intelligence, they don't have a website that you go to apply for those positions because that's unprofessional. Mm. They actually identify people and recruit them. And that's how that works. Whereas the CIA and FBI have, you know, you apply online and I mean, it's so juvenile. So that's a part of it. The way the average FBI agent is trained, but especially counterintelligence and counterterrorism, they're woefully underprepared for what they're stepping into. You know, your average FSB agent for Russia is doing at least, you know, 18 months to 2 years of training, then language training, and then doing service in a foreign country or in a third world country before they come to Europe and the United States, generally speaking. Whereas, you know, in the FBI, you take a 4-week course at Quantico and you're a counterintelligence agency. I mean, it's so juvenile and it's unprofessional. So I think on that level, there's that. So the way the system is actually set up, I think is problematic and the way people are promoted. When we look at the fact that James Comey, who was the FBI director, publicly admitted in a New York Magazine article that he was a communist. And he specifically said while he was in the Department of Justice, "I was a communist, not sure how I would define myself politically now." Well, in a world where sanity was actually present in that day in 2003, the FBI would have shown up at his doorstep. He would have been fired from the Department of Justice and he would have a counterintelligence investigation would have been opened. But not only does that not happen, he gets elevated, you know, 10 plus years later to be the director of the FBI, which should tell your audience how badly penetrated our system is by the communists.
And not only that, his daughter was the lead prosecutor for one of the most notorious pedophiles, Ghislaine Maxwell. So I don't feel like that trial was, I think more or less it was a sham trial, but that's just a side note, just to throw that out there, because, you know, the safety of our children is important to me. But continue, because you're right. Every level of our government has been infiltrated with the communist ideas and belief systems. So continue. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, no, I think that's a good point. And when we look at James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok and folks like this that literally lied numerous times on a FISA application to spy, electronically surveil the president of the United States, his family and his staff. I mean, this is tremendous. Number of laws being broken, perjury in front of a federal judge. But I mean, at a minimum, people get fired from the FBI for this, not to mention when you're the director and the assistant director or deputy director. So I put that everything in that light. And I think the problem is since 9/11, the only training inside the government, which was inside the FBI, about what was actually what Al-Qaeda's doctrine is, their modus operandi, and the broader Islamic movement in the United States and how they're working seamlessly with the communist movement. The only training in the government was in 2006 and 2007. Those were trainings that I created and ran. And I don't say that as a big pat on the back. Right. I say it because that was 15 years ago. So you now have new agents that came in 2007 and 8 that have never been actually trained on who the threat is and why they're fighting us and how strategically they're organized. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the average FBI counterintelligence and counterterrorism agent, no matter how well-intentioned and professional and talented they might be, if they don't seek this information out on their own, which many do not because they don't know what to look for, they're operating within a parameter that will always lead them to an incomplete solution.
I agree with you. And if anyone after our interview, you know, as we talk and get to know understanding the threat and what that is, and that I've really enjoyed listening to you the few times that I have. That's why I wanted you on the show. You can find more about him. He has written several books. One was The Threat to America. That was in 2010. Rising Jihad Generation. That was in September of 2013. But his latest one is Islam's Deception, The Truth About Sharia. And that was just written a few years ago. And so I want you to kind of take it away and where you want to start with, okay, what exactly is understanding the threat for all my audience? Because I have an understanding of what you do, but go for it, because I really enjoy learning under you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your kind words. Understanding the threat is basically an extension of the work that I did in the FBI and Department of Defense. When I got recruited out by the Department of Defense, myself and another colleague, Steve Coughlin, went around a big part of what we were doing is briefing senior leadership. So 3- and 4-star generals and admirals, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in the House, chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the House, senior senators, former FBI, retired FBI, CIA directors, DIA directors, national security advisors, attorney generals of the United States, those kinds of folks. And what was shocking to me is, in my opinion, the people we were briefing, for the most part, with only a few exceptions, these were good people, patriots, wanted to know, wanted to do something. And they had no clue. When we briefed them, they had no idea, no understanding about the enemy. And what was most disconcerting to me were the generals and admirals that were leading, these were commanders of major commands, CENTCOM and AFRICOM and commands that they needed to know who the enemy was and why they were fighting. And they were clueless, utterly clueless.
You don't expect that from upper command. You expect them to know almost everything. And then they relay it down because you've been in military. It goes down the chain. It starts at the top, or sometimes the intel starts at the bottom and it goes all the way up to the top. Either way, your commanders at some point in time know what's going on. And so this right here is shocking to me. So anyone who's been in military police, this is shocking information to me, because they should know. They should know whether it starts at the bottom with intel from the guys at the ground level, or they're getting it from different governmental agencies feeding the intel, and then that information getting relayed from the top down. That's crazy. How are we supposed to protect the United States when the men in charge don't even know the threat? That's insane.
Well, this is the way the enemy intends to win the war. The fact that our military crushed the enemy on the battlefields of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, parts of northern, eastern Africa, and other places that aren't necessarily reported. We've done some great damage, and yet, even though we crushed them on the battlefield, we lost those wars. And the question is, how do we do that? And I would challenge you, ask any 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star general or admiral. Why is ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Egyptian Islamic Jihad, fill in the blank, why are they fighting us? And you will get various answers, but none of them will be correct. And that's why, when you can't, as of today, as of this conversation, the United States under 4 administrations has never identified an enemy, which we've been engaged in wars for over 20 years. And that's why you cannot defeat an enemy you don't identify. And so therein lies the problem. And this is just on the, the jihadi side, the Islamic side. Al-Qaeda did what they did on 9/11. Because they said it's a command from Allah to wage jihad to establish an Islamic state under which Allah's divine law, Sharia, is imposed on every human on earth. And in fact, that statement I just made that Al-Qaeda made numerous times, ISIS has made numerous times, Tabliki Jamaat, the Muslim Brotherhood, Hezbollah, Hamas have made numerous times, is actually normative and universally taught Islamic doctrine. They teach it in my state of Texas to 10, 11-year-olds in Islamic schools. So the question is, if what Al-Qaeda and ISIS say is normative and is taught in Islamic schools to first graders, fifth graders, eighth graders, 12th graders in Islamic schools all over Europe, Canada, the United States, Mexico, Asia, and the Middle East, shouldn't we, a professional standard would lead us to actually break open that book and read it and ask, why is this being taught to 10-year-old Muslim children in the United States? That the purpose of Islam is to impose Allah's divine law on every human on earth. That's the purpose of Islam. That's what Islam says. And if that's not true, then we should find some support for that and wage a counter propaganda campaign. But in fact, it is true. And the fact that we've had Republican and Democrat presidents say, and national security advisors, Republican and Democrat, and secretaries of defense and secretaries of state, Republican and Democrat, tell us that that's not what Islam teaches. And I just keep asking, well, where is what you're saying taught to any Muslim on the planet? Because we can't find one Islamic school, one textbook, one book of Islamic law that says, you know, love thy neighbor, do unto others. It doesn't exist. So that's just one piece of the problem. Now you have this massive communist movement mm-hmm. that has been inside the United States for over 100 years.
Yep.
When we teach it to people, walk people from 1920 tonight to 2022, say, you know, what's changed other than the fact they've steamrolled us, especially for the last 20 to 25 years. And there's been no comprehensive plan to address it. And no matter how many people we've briefed, and I've briefed well over 100 members of Congress, again, governors, attorney generals at the state level, federal leaders, former FBI, CIA, DIA directors, et cetera, nobody wants to tackle it.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Secretary of State Mike Pompeo addressed the governors in an association. This is tied to smart cities. I do a show. I've been trying to educate people on smart cities, and I have been invited to be on a few different shows, and I'm looking forward to it. But one of the clips I share with that episode, because you have to start a foundation. I need to show you guys that the smart cities are based upon are coming from the CCP and the World Economic Forum. Yeah. And so there is a segment that I show where Mike Pompeo addresses all of the governors and association, and he specifically calls out that there are governors in our nation that are very friendly to the CCP, very friendly. That should scare everybody, because the CCP is not our friend. They're not our ally. They are against us. They want to take us down. And so that right there is probably a big reason why they're not going to listen, because they already have sold out their country, their state, to the Chinese Communist Party.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And, you know, what we're experiencing in America is the culmination of a 100-year communist movement and a 60-year Islamic movement with their collaborators and with their financiers. And we are now experiencing that. And so Let's just take a couple current events. When I hear people say, you know, what happened in, you know, I'm in Texas, what happened in Uvalde, Texas is horrible and tragic. Of course it is. But let's take a moment and review. So we're living in a country where our children have been told for decades that murdering babies in the womb, and now for the last couple of years after they're born, is okay. Mm-hmm. That we don't know the difference between a man and a woman.
Correct.
And we can't actually identify.
Because so we're not biologists. That's
we've
why.
Taken, right. We've taken reasoned thought, critical thinking, mm-hmm. tossed it out the window. Mm-hmm. We have a society that says crime is okay if it's for certain reasons. If people are just expressing themselves, so they're burning down cities because they're angry, because America's systemically racist, then that's okay. You can kill and people and hurt them and burn down numerous businesses to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't even know what the total price tag is as of today. That's okay. And by the way, we can take children and abuse them by, like we did in Dallas, and I say we had nothing to do with it, but Dallas allowed these sexual deviants to have this show with children where, you know, the backdrop is a big neon sign that says it's not going to lick itself. And we're traipsing little children through this. And we're confused why a young teenager would take a gun and go kill people. Mm-hmm. When we've created this society and we've taken God out of schools and morality out of schools, and we're telling people there's no real difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really up to the user. You know, it's up to you to determine what's right or wrong. There's no objective truth. These are lies. And over decades, it has an impact on the psyche of children. By the way, we locked them down for 2 years and lied to them about that as well. Mm-hmm. And so we wonder why people act out like this. And of course, I'm making the assumption that what happened in Uvalde, Texas was not ideologically driven, because we're not sure yet. But let's just say it wasn't. Why would somebody go crazy like that? Well, I think there's plenty of reasons why. Because when you destroy the moral foundation of a country, this is the kind of behavior. This is the kind of chaos that necessarily results. And this is our adversaries know this, which is why the Communist Party of the United States, aka the Democrat Party, has been pushing these things: release criminals, open borders, bring in criminals and terrorists and other people who shouldn't be allowed into the country. And we're going to pay them and then transport them to the inner parts of America.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Let me ask you a question. Do you like coffee? And do you want to lose some weight? You never know when baby season's here. And what about the holidays? After the holiday pounds, we all know that the holiday pounds. Let's nick the holiday pounds. Summer quickly approaches. It's here before we know it. And then we haven't hit our weight loss goals. So let me tell you about this amazing coffee. And if I say that, it's a big deal, because I don't like coffee, but this coffee is really good tasting, really delicious. It's called Java, and it's from My Infinity. So if you go to amramay.myinfinity.com, the links are in the description, you can get a coffee that tastes amazing and will help you lose weight at the same time. It's incredible. So make sure you click the link below in the description or go to amramay.myinfinity.com right now and get the Java. Get it now, start losing weight, and get your coffee that tastes amazing. So what's there to lose? Oh yeah, just the weight. AmberMay.myInfinity.com. We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out the CommandersArtist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at the CommandersArtist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you could support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today. Use promo code Amber and save some money at checkout.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And we're going to turn America into a third world whole, because that's our intent. That's the intent of the communists, the jihadis, our collaborators and financiers. This is a well-coordinated effort. And I can tell you from our intelligence network and our assessment, they are very well coordinated at the local, national, and international level. So this is an intentional, well-coordinated effort to achieve what they are literally achieving right now.
Well, to everything you said about Uvalde, spot on. I love how you broke it down as into the whys. I'll just throw this out there, because when I heard about Uvalde and all, there was a lot of other mass shootings. It wouldn't surprise me if, again, it was a coordinated effort and someone was paid or someone was manipulated into doing it so that we give up our gun rights, because God gave us these rights and they can't take it. We have to surrender it. And so it wouldn't surprise me if these were all planned attacks. And like you said, they don't care if they hurt kids, because they have been sexually hurting children. And then, like you said, with abortions, they've been proponents of killing kids in the womb and out of the womb. And then Justice Roberts was just threatened with a gunman outside of his home because of his ideologies or whatever, thinking that it's okay to threaten a Supreme Court justice because he might rule against legalizing abortion or going back on Roe versus Wade or whatever. That I didn't read the whole article, but I just skimmed through it. So that was interesting. I was like, whoa, I just skimmed through that really quick. So I encourage you guys to go look that story up, because it kind of all ties in together of what you just laid out beautifully. And I hope that it's not a coordinated effort, but with everything that's going on with the food shortages and the fires on the food facility plants, and there's been a partial hold on the amount of fuel that trains are allowed to haul from one place to another. The whole thing just feels very, and then the gas prices. So you have a high inflation, you have the gas prices, and it's all coordinated where they want to collapse the dollar. They want Americans to be either super rich or super poor, and they want to take us down. And they knew they couldn't defeat us military wise. So they came in from the inside, and they've been, like you said, for 100 years, infiltrating every level of government. And it's pretty sad, pretty sad. And teaching the Marxist ideologies in our public school system. So when you go and talk, what are you telling people to do as a way that we can fight this or give hope that, yes, we can still overcome this? It's not too late, but if we don't do anything, then yeah, it's going to be done. So when you do your talks and you're educating these people, what do you say to them as an action player?
Well, our Into Action training program that I created about 5 years ago is specifically targeted at training citizens. And the goal is to show citizens how to organize as a team at the county, local level, identify hostile operators, individuals and organizations in your local community, flush them out, and reestablish a Republican form of government at the local level. So it's a 3-day program. We come into your community when invited. We just need at least 50 people. It's $295 a seat, which is a bargain. And we will literally organize you as a team. We'll show you how to research the bad guys in the community. We will give you an overview of what they're doing, how they're doing it. And we'll actually, we do a pretty significant program on the first day on America's founding principles and law and government. So we know how we're supposed to operate,
okay,
how we should be operating. But we show creative ways, and really you're only limited by your experience, training, and creativity on how to identify these people and render them ineffective in the government or in your community.
Okay.
Whether they're in the government or they're not, whether they're a business person or something that's hostile. And all of this is lawful. It's all First Amendment protected activities, but it's an awesome program. And the communities we've trained around the country are really able to do a lot of very good things. And whether it's literally flushing bad guys out, forcing them to move out of the community, or make them go underground, or get them fired from their jobs, any of those things, publicly humiliate them to render them ineffective, whatever it takes. This is a war, and it's a war for the Republic. The Republic is not standing right now.
Mm-mm.
We are not operating in a constitutional republic right now. We're a post-constitutional republic. And so we need to reestablish that. And it begins at the local level. If you're spending more than 4 or 5% of your time, this is to your viewers and listeners, worried about what's happening at the federal level, you are wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to worry about your Chamber of Commerce, your local school board, your local banks and what they're doing, local businesses, and focus there, your local leadership, city council, mayor, and focus on that. Your sheriff, what are they doing to actually protect you? And if they're operating on the side of the bad guys, they need to get a firm boot to their butt and punt them out of their office and replace them with constitutionally minded people. And there are ways to do this very aggressively and not aggressively. And quite frankly, what we teach is pretty simple stuff. So I encourage people, go to understandingthethreat.com, understandingthethreat.com, go to our contact page and say, hey, we'd like to bring this training to our community. And we will have one of our team members reach out to you and start talking to you about it and scheduling it.
Let me ask you about the bank, because I had a very odd encounter with a big bank, Chase Bank, yesterday. I don't bank with them, but a family member did, and I was going to make a deposit with them, and it was a cash deposit because I didn't have an ID. Well, I did have my ID. They wanted to ID me for making a cash deposit in someone's account. And then because I didn't have an account with them, they refused the cash deposit. So when you talk about, I thought that was so strange. Why do they need my ID? Why can't I make a cash deposit? It just was so strange. When you talk about banks, can you give us an example? Because I just left feeling very uncomfortable with that transaction at Chase.
So yeah, so you're going to need to know the banking laws. Sometimes money laundering legislation prevents things like what you're talking about. Someone just walking in and dumping a bunch of money in someone's account.
It was a small amount. It wasn't even a big, huge amount.
So, right. So I don't know the specific, but just so you know, there are laws out there that govern some of this. But with regards to the banks, some of the things I'm talking about are some of the banks that are donating to the communists in the United States through things like Black Lives Matter, which was created out of the largest Chinese communist organization in the United States and works directly with the Chinese consulates and directly with Communist Party officials. This is a communist organization. It was from the beginning, as always has been. It was established that way. So these organizations, these banks that are giving hundreds of thousands or in some cases, millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter should be held to account. And you can put great pressure on them in the United States to get their act together. The other thing are Islamic finance laws. So Sharia compliant finance. Many big banks actually have Sharia compliant finance mechanisms, which means these financial mechanisms are compliant with Islamic law, Sharia. And when money passes through a Sharia compliant tool, depending on what it is, a portion of that, at least 1/8, goes to support terrorism, jihad in Islam. So U.S. banks are directly financing terrorism, and they're doing it because they think they're being nice, or they're appeasing the Islamic community. And so these are things where local law enforcement in some states where the statutes apply can actually open up investigations on bank officials and bring real pressure onto them. At a minimum, though, you can sit down with them as a group of citizens and say, hey, I represent, 500,000-800,000 people in this community, me and the four of us. And we're here to tell you, we're going to get people to pull their accounts from your bank if you don't shut this down immediately. There are things you can do to really bring pressure on local banks. So those are just a couple simple examples.
I like that, because General Flynn always says local action creates national impacts. And I 100% agree, because you're right. you know, truly our, the government, honestly, that matters the most is our local government, because they have the most power because they represent you and I. And then typically in a constitutional republic, okay, they have, the federal government has very limited power. They're the job that they're supposed to do the most is keep our country safe, which they are in dereliction of duty because they're allowing everyone and anyone to come in. And it frightens me because we probably have more, the sleeper cells are probably growing extensively because of the open border. They're just, it's an easy access to come in. And then the drug flow, it's just disgusting. And it's scary because what are the ramifications? When is, there's going to, it's not if, it's when will there be an internal attack? I don't know. And I don't think we'll be prepared for that because I just don't think we're going to be prepared for that. I don't know, but that's just me. So understandingthethreat.com, right? Understandingthethreat.com. And then let me talk about your books really quick and where we can get a hold of them. So the latest book that you wrote was Islam's Deception, The Truth About Sharia. And so where can we find your books? Is it still under understandingthethreat.com?
Or sure, you can go to the website, but it's available at Amazon and other places as well. Islam's Deception, The Truth About Sharia is a real look at why understanding why Al-Qaeda and ISIS do what they do matters to you at the local community, because local mosques and Islamic organizations are doing the same thing. And so they might be wearing suits and they might act very nice, but if they're leaders of these organizations, especially ones we can identify as Muslim Brotherhood organizations, which are prevalent in every mid-sized, large-sized community, that's a danger to the community. And your local government and your local sheriff and police department, by not addressing this, they're putting the citizens in grave danger.
I do think I have come across several Muslim people, and I don't think the entire Muslim community even knows, like, maybe they're, I don't know, for a lack of, I don't know what they call their religious ceremony, their religious place of worship. I don't know what they call them. A mosque. Maybe, I don't think a lot of them, the regular attendees even know. I mean, I could be wrong, but when things like this get brought up, the regular attending Muslims get very offended. And it makes me think that, okay, there's a lot of people that just don't know what's behind the bigger organization. And I think that's even true for American citizens. Most American citizens didn't even realize how corrupt the United States government has become and how there is this internal war that's going on in our country where they want to take us down. Have you experienced something like that?
Sure. So to be clear, not everybody that self-identifies as a Muslim wants to wage jihad or impose Sharia. However, what Al-Qaeda and ISIS say the requirements of Islam are, they're correct. Okay, so let ISIS and Al-Qaeda, the things they've done, setting a pilot on fire in a cage, beheading people on a beach, these kinds of things, the Muslims who just killed over 50 Catholics during a mass in Nigeria on Pentecost Sunday several days ago. These are all lawful things in Islam. All of that's lawful behavior. 60-year-old men marrying 7-year-old girls, that's lawful in Islam. Stoning for adultery is lawful.
Muhammad did that. He married a very young girl, like 7, 8, 10, something like that. Very young girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the information, the factual information we have, and I'll start at the international level, Pew polling shows that a large majority of Muslims on the planet do support the imposition of Sharia, and they do want to live under Sharia. I mean, the numbers are off the charts into the high 70s up to, in Afghanistan, 99%. And the numbers are pretty high in the United States as well. We had shortly after 9/11 polls that had a disturbing number of Muslims in America supported Al-Qaeda in their mission, just not in the way they were doing it. Now that should scare the, and we had Muslim leaders saying that on CNN, that yes, of course, we support what Al-Qaeda is trying to do, just the way they're doing it isn't the way we would do it. That should have been the flashing neon sign that we have troubles here. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of mosques in America do teach Islam. And I don't know why we'd expect them not to teach Islam. And the vast majority, meaning over 75%, do teach that violence against non-Muslims is required under the law at certain times. Mm-hmm. So that's, we have to be very careful about how we talk about these things. I would also say this, two important things. All Islamic law, which again, they teach to children in US Islamic schools, teaches that to say something about Islam or the Prophet or Allah, that and the legal language is what a Muslim would quote dislike is a violation of the Islamic law of slander, and it's a capital crime in Islam. So when they say behead those who insult Islam, they mean it and they do it. They every week there's a story from somewhere on the planet where that is actually happening. You just got to pay attention. The other thing is Islam teaches that it is permissible for Muslims to lie to non-Muslims if the goal is permissible.
That's true.
Obligatory mm-hmm. to lie if the goal is obligatory. Mm-hmm. And it is obligatory in Islam to impose Sharia on every human on earth and make Islam dominant on the planet. That's what Islam teaches. Mm-hmm. Normative Islam. So if a senator on the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, or a congressman on the House Intelligence Committee, or a national security advisor, or a pastor, or a police chief, or a governor says, well, my Muslim friend tells me X, well, then you're unprofessional by simply listening to somebody instead of just picking up a book of Islamic law, which is readily available in mosque bookstores across the United States, and just read it. And it tells, what's amazing is if you go to mosques across the United States and buy 20 books of Islamic law and buy the three most used textbooks to teach children about Islam in the United States, they all say the same thing. And it's exactly what Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and the Muslim Brotherhood say. Which now here's interesting. I'll kind of close this thought with this for your audience. Isn't it interesting that what Muslim leaders tell US leaders about Islam is exactly opposite what Muslim children are taught in US Islamic schools about Islam? Keeping in mind, it is obligatory for Muslims to lie to non-Muslims if the goal is obligatory. Right. I mean, just ask your governor, ask your pastor, why is it what Muslim leaders are telling you, pastor, or senator, or congressman, or president, or national security advisor, or governor, what they're telling you is exactly 180 degrees opposite of what they're telling their 10-year-old children every day in Islamic schools in the United States. Why is that? Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. John, I always enjoy hearing from you and talking to you. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for making time to come on the show. And again, you can go to understandingthethreat.com and you can get the books there and you can sign up and have John come to your community and teach you about how we can fight back. Because he said, if I'm quoting you correctly, John, you're saying that the Communist Party and the jihadists and all them, they're kind of working together, right, to take down the United States. And
seamlessly at the local levels across.
So we are getting it. It's like death by a thousand cuts in the United States. So this is one way. There's so many ways to get involved in the fight, and this is just another way. So it's all about action. Not all hope is lost, because we have a man like John telling us about the threats that our country is under. So thank you so much for coming, John. And make sure you stay tuned, because I have more information coming up right now. I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company /Amber May. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code Amber May, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American made, patriot owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company /Amber May and use promo code Amber May to save some money. World, you never know what's going to happen. I want to make sure you are prepared. So I want you to stock up on food right now. And the way you can do that, the easiest way to do that is go to theamermayshow.com. Look at the resources. You can have a full supply, full of food in your pantry, ready to go in case of a job loss or convoys, supply chain issues, business being shut down, war, whatever it is, you're prepared. So go to theamermayshow.com, click the resource tab, and get your food supply today. Do not wait. Get it today.